We don't have to sing.
Let's not.
Oh, hello, gentle listener.
Welcome to Hot Drinks before...
I'm fucking drunk.
God damn it.
Hot drinks. So I'm already drunk.
Like and subscribe. Hi, dummies.
Oh. Just like the white-winged dove sings a song, sounds like she's singing, ooh, ooh, ooh.
I can't believe you knew those words. Because I knew was like, sing, ooh, baby, ooh.
Well, guess what? I wrote that song. No, I was listening to it on the way over here because it was on the radio. And I had the thought of, I wonder what the words are when she's going, so I looked them up.
Did you just use Apple Music? Because it literally just tells you the lyrics right there.
I don't ever use Apple Music. I don't know why I'm scared of it.
You shouldn't be. When we were trying to get our segment ready to talk about WAP,
WAP.
Sister Twain spent 45 minutes on Google trying to find the WAP lyrics. And she kept only finding the clean version,
the clean version.
Which says wet and gushy.
Wet and gushy, yeah.
And I was like, it's like literally you wet click a button on Apple Music and all the lyrics are right there. Like, it's just right there.
Yeah.
She was like, hold on, let me just Google it. Hold on. Wet ass pussy explicit. Oh, no, this is the clean one again. So anyway. Hi, welcome to Hot Drinks.
Welcome to Hot Drinks. This is Latter Day Twain.
And I am Brother Jack Coffee, or Bishop Coffee if you're nasty.
Or J. Coff.
Is that one of them? J. Coff?
Well, yeah, kind of like J-Lo.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say kind of like Jack Off.
I was trying to make a new one.
Okay, great.
Anyway.
So this is a podcast. We record it, meaning we talk into a device. It makes a computerized audio track of what we say, and then it plays it back to you.
And it sounds like a computer.
We
are talking like a computer.
We talk about embroidery. We talk about arts and crafts. We talk about parenting and some of our strategies to get through just, you know, good snacks we make our kids after school. We talk about those things. We talk about canning. We love canning.
Making jam.
We love making fucking jam. We talk about making some fucking jam all the fucking time. All you cunts and your store-bought jam. We just want some fucking jam.
Fuck you guys. Do you remember the Friends episode where she was all about making jam?
No.
Did you watch Friends? I forget.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And it's the one where Joey was jumping on the bed and broke his arm.
I don't remember any of
She's
this.
All about making jam.
Uh-huh.
She also wants to have a baby, like be inseminated.
When you say she, you mean Monica,
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Duh, sorry.
I mean, who else would be making jam? Rachel? No.
No.
Fuck that.
And then...
one of the boys? No. That's too hetero, non-normative.
Rachel and Ross have a little hiccup in their relationship because she likes to cuddle at night and he doesn't.
Oh.
And so Chandler tries to teach Ross... The hug and roll.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. Anyway.
Oh, wait. No, it was the other way around. Sorry. I forget it. Friends was a good show.
It was a good show. It was fun. It was good times.
Monica made jam.
She did.
Saw that episode live. I was there. You can hear my laugh in the show.
Wait, who has Friends now? Because I know it like moved around. Is it on HBO Max? What is it on?
I don't fucking know.
It was like moving around. It was a thing because it was leaving Netflix.
Yes.
So I don't know where it is now.
Yeah, I think people had parades in the street that it was leaving Netflix. Not because they hated it, but just because they were like, why? Why did we need it ever?
So then they had a parade?
I'm making a joke.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Anyway, so this is a podcast.
Piece of shit. I got a text.
We talk about stuff. Sister Twain checks her text during the show.
Okay.
Oh, it is from our guest.
Yes.
Okay, so that's fine.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
Thank you.
What do you want to say to introduce yourself? Anything?
Oh, okay. So, I am voluptuous.
Okay. Statuesque.
I'm nothing if not statuesque.
Nothing if not statuesque.
And
you don't have COVID.
I don't. Oh, my God. So, I don't know if you've noticed this, gentle listeners, but for the last 8 months that we've been recording.
Surely you've never heard it.
I have been clearing my throat chronically.
You guys, and I'm really glad none of you know about this because I spend hours after we record each episode and I just go through every nanoparticle of that audio track.
Nanoparticle.
And I delicately erase by hand each throat clear.
Yeah.
Because I don't want that just sound to pop in your ears.
Right.
Because I care about you as listeners. So I take the time to go through and just carefully. And sometimes it's intertwined with dialogue. And so I've got to play with the levels and
it's
stuff.
Intricate.
And I'm using an audio manipulating app.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
It's called Audio Manipulator. And it's complicated. But so I'm glad. So this is news to all of you. You all have no idea. But if you've been around Sister Twain in real life, you would know that she has been clearing her throat for 8 months.
You are so skilled.
I'm so glad none of you know about it.
Anyway, so it's gone on. It's gone on. It's gone on. Some days are worse than others. And so I thought, I want to see if I have like some permanent lung damage because I am like clearing. There's shit back there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I wanted to see if I had COVID when I had the quote unquote flu, the quote unquote second time in late December.
Right.
The antibody test came back negative.
Okay.
I did not have COVID.
Had COVID.
No.
Okay.
So we're still trying to get to the bottom of whatever the fuck this is, guys. I'm trying, guys. I'm trying. This is me trying.
So you went to like an ENT.
I did go to an ENT. And then on Tuesday, I'm going to an allergist.
Oh, okay.
And then on Friday, I'm going to New Orleans.
To fuck a Republican.
So he says he's not Republican.
I, like, Jesus, like, you have said that to me. And I want to punch a fist through a wall.
Okay, anyway.
I don't
let's change
this care let's what is on your voter registration card. My mother is a Republican, but she's voting for Joe Biden. So I don't care what's on her voter registration
right,
card.
Right, exactly. Anyway, let's change this
she
up.
She loves that, Kamala.
Kamala?
Okay, so, oh my God, I'm going to punch you. Why do I always say I'm going to punch you? I would never punch a woman.
I know, but it's so
it's
funny.
Horrible.
It's
no,
so funny.
But it's not funny. We shouldn't joke about abuse to women.
Well, then what should you say instead?
I'm going to throw myself up a building. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Both of those took a dark turn. So one important thing we want to talk about today, something we always keep tabs on, is Robert Pattinson.
Jesus fuck the Lord. Sorry, that was yours.
That was mine.
That was yours.
Fine.
By the way, gentle lizard, the other day.
What did you even send me?
I sent you.
Something.
Some hot dude pic.
On Instagram.
And you said, Jesus fuck the Lord.
That was my response.
And I cackled. I was in my room, in the quiet, middle of the day.
It's a great saying, though, so please incorporate it into your daily vocabulary.
Anyway,
Jesus fuck the Lord.
Robert Pattinson is full emo.
Yeah.
And greasy hair.
Yeah.
But not like poor guy greasy hair, like rich guy greasy hair.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's the new Batman.
Guys, I don't know why they keep recycling this.
No.
We were just talking about this, but let's focus on Robert.
We'll go because of Robert.
Yes.
But why do we need another Batman movie?
Yeah.
And why do we need another dark and gritty Batman movie?
We could have a bubbly gay.
We have. It was called Batman and Robin. It was the one with Mr. Freeze.
That's right.
It was Joel Schumacher, and it was super, super gay.
Oh, my God.
Robin had big plastic nipples.
That movie sucked so
bad. Oh, no. No, no, no.
It was so bad.
I think you should go revisit it. It was pure camp. It was pure camp.
So.
It was made by a gay man.
Oh, well, okay.
Joel Schumacher.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was going for this campy, kinky, absurd comic book, and it was brilliant.
Well, I guess I should revisit it.
He was ahead of his time.
Hmm.
But now we're just like, what if, you guys, hold up, what if? This is a meeting happening at like Warner Brothers or whoever.
Right.
You guys, what if?
Yeah.
What if we really got to the dark side of Batman?
I'm listening.
What? I mean, he's so dark. What if we got to that dark side? And you know what Batman really is? He's a white man with a lot of money. Who, instead of investing in the infrastructure of his city to help, you know, to create like after school programs and jobs programs, he is flying around like some fucking vigilante.
Perpetuating his
beating up people of color. Yeah. I mean, it's a
beating up people of color.
And it's not working.
And
he's been doing it for years and Gotham City's still a shithole.
I know.
So maybe invest in some after school programs, Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Anyway. Curious.
I just want to see Robert. Okay.
I know. But here's the thing.
What?
I just don't know why, because, you know, there's this whole DC versus Marvel thing.
Yeah.
And I don't take a strong stance because I'm not a big comic book person. But the Marvel movies are so fun. Whether you like them or not is a whole other story. It may not be your thing. But they're just fun and silly
yeah.
and and magical and like, you know, the swell of emotions when the good guys win and all that stuff.
Right.
And DC has just decided the way for them to make a name for themselves, sure, is just to make these dark, gritty. They made like fucking dark and gritty Superman.
So here's what I'm thinking. Here's my spin on it. Yeah. Your spin is, what did you say? Fun versus dark and gritty?
Well, and I don't think every movie has to be fun, but I just think superhero movies shouldn't be depressing, every single one of them. They should have some like excitement and joy that the good guys win. I mean, anyway, that's what superheroes are for.
My take on it is rather formulaic versus edgy.
Yeah, but they're formulaic while being edgy.
Just, God damn it.
We're having an actual discussion here. But here's what is good. There's a new trailer out for WW84, which is Wonder Woman 84. Uh-huh. And it looks magical.
Yeah. Tell me about why.
Well, it takes place in the 80s. So it's already got, that's why it's called WW84. It takes place in 1984. So it's already got kind of a campy, glammy, glitzy feel. Kristen Wiig is the villain.
Does she wear a banana clip?
Probably.
I can't wait.
She, at one point in the trailer, says, I'm an apex predator, or I want to be an apex predator, which I think we all know is a direct callback to Mean Girls the musical, the song Apex Predator. So it's just feels like, I'll make you watch the trailer on the break. It just feels more campy and more fun. I'm not saying that they all have to be completely just fun and mindless, but I just think like that's why we go to like a superhero movie. I don't go to a superhero movie to see like, what was that movie we saw that I fell asleep in about the guy that sews things?
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
It won all the Oscars. It was like nominated for a bunch of awards and everyone loves it. And everyone loves it, but I fell asleep.
Phantom Thread.
The Phantom Thread. I don't need to see the Phantom Thread when I go to Batman.
Brilliant movie. But yes, I hear what you're saying. You don't want to feel like you need a master's degree to understand the movie.
No, and I don't care about like how angry Batman is. I just want to see some good guys beat up some bad guys.
Yeah.
One other quick bit of women's work.
Okay.
Did you hear Kellyanne Conway is leaving the White House?
I did, too, because she needs to attend to her family.
And did you hear that George Conway, her husband, who hates her and they fight all the time on Twitter, is leaving the Lincoln Project because they need to focus on their family? This is all because of their 15-year-old daughter, Caitlin. I think that's her name, is Caitlin.
Yeah.
Who has been tweeting and posting TikToks about what pieces of shit her parents are. She has just been posting about how she's like, my mom fucking ruined my life when she took that job. And I do feel empathy for, I think her name's Caitlin, but I don't remember. I feel empathy for the daughter of Kellyanne Conway because she's 15 years old. She does not need to be in the spotlight for these kind of things.
Absolutely.
But I love that she kind of called her parents out and held them accountable and said,
yes,
quit being such pieces of shit so you can fight on TV and be parents.
Yeah.
Instead of lying to the American people.
Amazing.
Anyway, so fuck you, Kellyanne Conway.
I know. Bye.
Good luck with your daughter. I hope she hates you forever.
Bye, Kelly. So we have a special guest tonight. The husband of Heavenly Milf.
Right. You may remember him as Sky Daddy.
Right. That's how we know him.
You may know him as Sky Daddy.
And he wasn't sure at first if he wanted to do this.
Okay.
And then Heavenly Milf that night texted me and was like, Sky Daddy totally wants to do it.
The night that she recorded?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She texted me that night.
I didn't know that.
And so we had some family things. Because, you know, Heavenly Milf is part of my ex-husband's family.
Right. And there was some trauma in your family.
Kind of a double whammy trauma in that on that side of the family. And so we would have done it sooner.
Right.
But if we had, we may have not had that, like, exquisite 5 H's that I am
episode. That was a great episode. You guys, I hope you really enjoyed that. Did you guys get what I was doing? Because that we were supposed to say H's that weren't horny, but all 5 of mine were
horny.
Wasn't that funny?
Oh,
I don't know if you guys figured that out, but go back and listen again.
Yeah.
And all of my H's are horny, even though none of them were supposed to be. It's so funny. It's so funny, you guys.
I'm going to ask Sky Daddy what he thinks of Robert Pattinson.
Okay. I was with some family today, by the way, some of my ex-Mormon family who listens to the show, and I was talking to my brother's wife, and she, I don't know if she listens. I know my brother listens. I don't know if she listens, but she was like, I know you talk about some things your brother does not want to hear about. And I'm like, oh, I know that's true. I 100% know that's true.
Right, right.
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought it was funny.
Is this your ex-Mormon brother who's married?
Yeah.
Because you also have a Mormon brother who's married.
I have, yes. I have one Mormon brother who's married. I have one ex-Mormon brother who's married. I have one ex-Mormon brother who's divorced. And I have one ex-Mormon brother who's gay.
Gay. And then there's you.
And then there's me.
And then...
I'm also an ex-Mormon and gay.
And what do we do with that?
What? Well, nothing. We stay home and cry ourselves to sleep at night. So anyway, so we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to be... riding on the wings of Sky Daddy.
Just on like the wings white of Sky Daddy. Oh, man.
I was singing On the Wings of Love.
Oh, I know.
Well, and you were singing, sing a song.
Just like of the white winged dove.
Sing the song.
This whole time I thought it was one winged dove.
Oh.
Which would be sad.
Oh, yeah.
Winged dove.
You don't want to fly on the one winged dove. That feels dangerous.
Well.
Ooh, baby, ooh.
Anyway, let's forget it.
Okay, so let's take a break.
Yeah.
We're going to watch the WW84 trailer. Then we're going to call Sky Daddy. Sky Daddy!
Hey.
What's up? Hey, we're so happy. This is recording, just FYI.
Awesome.
It starts as soon as you click that button. We've had a little technical difficulty getting connected.
Uh-huh. As we always want to do. So this is so exciting. Sky Daddy, I did not think that you would want to do this when Heavenly MILF told me you were kind of up in the air about it. I did not expect her to come back and say he totally wants to do it. And secondly, this will be the longest conversation that you and I have ever had.
I know, I had the exact same thought, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm super nervous, so it's like this is a it definitely took some convincing for me to do.
Yeah.
But
also, before we started recording, we were talking about you have a very sexy real name. Your name in real life, which we don't need to reveal, right, is very sexy. It's a good name.
That's
congratulations.
I mean, I said that. Don't want to make it weird.
So before we jump into like the meat and potatoes of this interview, why did you decide you wanted to do this after we talked to Heavenly MILF?
I don't know. I loved like listening to her story and just kind of hearing like, you know, our story together and kind of like going through everything with you guys and stuff like that. And I was like, I don't know, it might be kind of cool to like throw my perspective out there on all of it as well. And
for sure.
I've never done a podcast before, so that's exciting as well.
Welcome.
I'm super into podcasts, but it's scary.
I mean, you're going from 0 to 60. You're going from never having done a podcast to doing a podcast with literally millions of listeners around the world. Just kidding,
listeners around the world, but more like maybe
hundreds. Yeah, not millions. Hundreds.
That was a great segue. It's because I have 5 questions in my head at once. But like, where would you like to start, Adam? I mean, I kind of like to start.
Sky Daddy.
Fuck. That was weird. I don't know why I said that.
Because we did hear a little bit about both of your histories kind of together from Heavenly MILF. But do you want to tell us a little bit about kind of your upbringing, or do you want to jump
please.
Right in with?
I would like to hear about.
Okay,
that.
Great. Yeah. So let's jump in with. As your I say, upbringing.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Okay. So you grew up Mormon.
Yes. Yeah. Very, Orthodox, like devout Mormon my entire life. Born and raised in Utah.
Right.
It was all I ever knew my entire life. And,
okay.
Were you
the teacher's quorum president and then like the priest quorum advisor, second counselor, like all those things?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. All of it for sure.
Okay. Cool.
I was the kind of kid that like never like really had any qualms with the church or anything like that. I didn't ever really question it or go through like a rebellious phase or anything like that. you know, my whole life. I'm the oldest in my family too, of my siblings. And so people were just always like, yeah, you're the example to your younger siblings. And like, you're the guy that's going to be like the bishop and the state president someday. And I actually at a state conference, L. Tom Perry came and spoke, and we went up on the stand to meet him afterwards. I was like 14 years old, and he
and he's
just
a
grabbed
real
me.
tall motherfucker.
Oh yeah, like the most intimidating person ever,
Tall
for
and
sure.
lurpy, just
And like,
lurpy.
former like college football player, just a huge guy. And so he grabs me by both of my shoulders, and he just goes, "It is your responsibility to be a good example to your younger siblings."
Oh, okay. And
And
you're 14.
yeah,
No
so
pressure.
just like terrifying experience, and just like stuck with me forever after that.
Yeah.
That's
So
trauma.
fun.
Yeah, right. And so, yeah, I mean, yeah, I just never really had any issues with it, and
I think
felt
though,
like.
and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think like when you're like a straight male member of the church, I think it's really easy to just feel comfortable with the
Yeah,
church because the church
totally.
was built for straight white men for other straight white men. So
Yeah.
when you're a straight white man, you're like, oh yeah, this is great. Like
Yeah.
I'm
Oh,
into
yeah.
this. This is real cool. And it doesn't feel oppressive or weird or confusing or whatever because like it was designed for you. It was designed to make you happy. And so you're like, yeah, this is great. I'm totally into this. So,
Yeah,
okay.
absolutely. I mean, when we still talk, we have friends that like still attend and stuff like that, but they're not really believing, but they're just like, yeah, we just kind of take the good parts and it works for us. And we're like, well, yeah, you're a straight white man. Of course it works for
Right,
you. Like,
it's easy. Yeah.
yeah.
I even had that conversation with my dad, which was one of the most kind of thoughtful things my dad said to me about like leaving the church and coming out, where he basically said like I can't remember the words he used exactly, but basically said like it's easy for me to say we don't have all the answers and we can wait because I'm a straight white man. And he's like,
Totally.
I can see how being a gay man that it's harder to say like we don't have all the answers, we need to wait for God to tell us what's going on with this. So
Yeah.
anyway, I thought it was kind of a intelligent comment by my dad, but
Rare.
whatever.
It's
Rare, for
not
sure.
rare for your dad,
Right.
but rare,
For people to have
rare in
that
general.
perspective. So you went
Right.
on a mission, right?
Yeah. So went on a mission right at 19.
How was
This
that?
was honestly, I loved it. So
Yeah.
I went to Germany.
Okay.
Love the like the culture, the people, the
Right.
language, everything.
Right.
And the nice thing too is like it's so freaking hard there that like you
Yeah.
don't really get baptism. So now I don't like
Right.
feel bad that I can convince
Right.
people to join this church that I
Right.
no longer believe in.
I went to Italy, so same thing. Yeah. I don't
Yeah.
feel bad at all. I didn't teach anyone the gospel. The Italians don't
Yeah.
care. But did they give me some delicious pasta and some delicious panini? Yes. Yes,
Yes,
they
they
did.
did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, mission was great, like made some good friends and everything, kind of like just a cool experience or whatever. Came back home from my mission and like just, did the whole like started at UVU, transferred to BYU Hawaii after that.
Oh,
I didn't know
nice. Well
that.
done.
Yeah. Which is definitely like the best of the BYUs, like
Yeah, because
just
it's in Hawaii.
very exactly and
I
like
mean, it just, no matter, like, you can, it's easier to ignore all the patriarchy, all the racism, all the
Exactly.
homophobia, because you're in Hawaii. You're in the motherfucking Hawaii.
Well, and it's nice because like you don't have the narc culture there like you do at the other BYUs where like
Right.
everybody's just kind of like ratting each other out for breaking the
Right.
commandments or
Oh,
whatever.
really? They don't?
No,
I
like
didn't
it's
know
yeah.
that.
Honestly,
Okay,
and
good.
I think it's probably because it's also more ethnically diverse there.
Yeah.
They have like, people from all over the world there, mostly like the South Pacific and Asia and stuff like that, but
Oh.
But so it's a little more chill.
Yeah, for sure.
So BYU Idaho is the most narky
Oh
of all the
yeah.
BYUs.
Yep.
And then BYU Provo is the middle. And then BYU Hawaii is the most like laid back.
Loosey goosey.
For sure, yeah.
We love it.
Yeah, so it was great. Got my degree there, came home, started my career, and then got into like menace to society status. It like took me a long time to get married by Mormon standards.
Right.
Because I was 28, I think, when Danielle and I, or when, what,
Heavenly
I forgot it. Heavenly
MILF.
MILF, yeah.
So for people who don't know that Menace to Society reference was from who said that? Brigham Young or
Brigham Young,
something?
I think,
It
yeah. Said
was
that yeah,
Brigham?
if
God
you're like
damn it.
if you're
It's always
20,
Brigham. He was such a
what did
piece
he
of
say?
shit.
24, yeah, he was a piece of shit. But anyway, he said if you're 24 or 25 or whatever and unmarried, you're a menace to society. So
Yeah.
and the Mormons
Exactly.
still believe that. So
Yeah.
yeah, you were
So
28.
you were
Ooh.
28.
So way past that.
How old are you now, Sky Daddy?
I am now 33.
Okay. That's kind of what I thought.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you met Heavenly Mills.
So we met, fell in love instantly, did the whole like short dating, short engagement thing.
Right.
Can
I ask, yeah. Were you a virgin?
I was, yeah.
Wow, good boy.
But I mean, it was kind of, it was kind of like the, you know, towing the line, like you kind of go as far as you can.
Right.
But yeah, so we met, fell in love, quick engagement. I guess, I don't know, by Mormon standards, I think it was like 6 months from the time that we met until we were married. So maybe that's kind of long.
Maybe, but by Mormon standards, maybe that is kind of long.
But not out of the ordinary.
Right.
Yeah.
And
you were married in the temple.
Got married in the temple, all that. So I had two siblings before me that had both had babies out of wedlock. So, and then my other sibling was too young still. So I was kind of the first one to like go through the whole process in the quarter. Right.
To do it correctly.
Right. Yes. Again, just like L. Tom Perry asked you to do.
Exactly.
You
yeah.
were living right up to his.
He
to his
saw
edict.
In your eyes, he saw the future of your siblings having babies. Yeah. And that's why he grabbed you by the shoulders.
And he was like, you got to save this family.
Okay. And so you and Heavenly Milf have been married how long now?
Just over five, or like 5.5 years. Yeah.
Okay.
And you've got the three kids.
And yeah, we've got three kids.
Which is fucking crazy. But, yeah. But I'm obsessed with them. As you know, we're all obsessed with them. And
I don't know them. I'm not obsessed with them. But I'm sure they're lovely.
That'd be creepy if you were.
It would be creepy.
So, and then remind us, because I know Heavenly Milf mentioned this in hers, but like when you guys, well, when did you specifically, Sky Daddy, start questioning or doubting?
Yeah, so I think it was I don't know, there was a long time, I think, being kind of older in the church and going through the whole singles ward process and stuff started me kind of on that path of at least acknowledging that there were cultural things in the church that I didn't like. And
for
so for
example,
a long time, let's say, I'm trying to think, patriarchy. I mean, I think a lot of the, yeah, I think a lot of the, like the kind of the push for like people to get married super fast, yeah, and have babies right away and yeah, like all that kind of stuff. I mean, these are things that like directly affected me, right?
It is funny even now to hear you say like being an older member of the church, and you were 28, like a 28-year-old to me is like a tiny baby, you know?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like if someone tells me they're 28, I just think like, oh, you're so young, like you're just barely figuring your life out. But it really is true that in Mormonism, you're kind of like old and people are like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Why haven't you had any babies yet?
Exactly.
Yeah, totally. It's so weird.
So you're questioning some cultural things, or you're uncomfortable with some of the cultural things, and
yeah, and I think I never really like felt comfortable with the way that the church talked about like the LGBTQ community and stuff like that. There were, you know, I think for my entire life I could never really explain polygamy or like the priesthood ban and like things like that, you know.
Right.
So it's stuff like that, and you just kind of try to like justify it,
yeah,
and you know, I'd come up with the same canned responses as everybody and just kind of be like, yeah, like if I don't know now, I'll know in the next life,
yeah,
or like,
yeah.
That's
know, blame
such a
it
convenient
on
answer to just be able to say like, well, we don't understand all of God's mysteries, you know? So it just like, it eliminates all questioning and discussion and, you know, pushback. Cause you're just like, well, we don't know the way of the God of God. And you're just supposed to leave it at that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Exactly. And I mean, it's kind of what you were mentioning before, you know, it totally comes from a place of privilege, because like if you're the person who's being oppressed in the church, you don't have the convenience to just say that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But yeah, so I mean, that's kind of like where a lot of it started. And then I think like the really big shift for me was after our first baby was born. And just kind of like, you know, experiencing this love for this child, like that was like greater than anything I had ever experienced before.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, like the immediate, like where my mind went immediately was like, this baby literally could never do anything where I would like shut her out of my life or like not allow her into my home or something like that. And so then I was just like, well, why would God be different than that? Like, that
Yeah.
doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
Especially if it's something as like ridiculous as like coffee or
Right.
whatever.
Right. Right. Have you
And you
seen
know,
that meme where it's Jesus hugging the person coming into heaven and he's like, at least you never masturbated? Like, it just seems ridiculous. Like, why would Jesus
Well, there's
care?
also a coffee
At
one.
least
I'm
you didn't.
so glad you didn't drink coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what a stupid thing that like the God of the universe would care about.
Exactly.
Right.
And so, yeah, and so it's like I started to think about that. And like, I mean, to this day, like when people talk to me about it, I'm like, okay, my parents right now currently know that I drink alcohol. They know that I drink coffee and do all these other things, and I'm still allowed in their home. So
Yeah.
like,
Wow.
yeah. So that
Why
was, I
would
think,
God be different? Yeah.
exactly. Who's supposed to be like the perfect parent or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like where my mind went. And like a pretty big shift, I would say. And so she was born in March of 2015, and November is when the exclusion policy came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was like the thing that like totally broke my shelf. And it was just, I think when it first happened, Heavenly MILF and I were, she was like out of town, I think. And I was just at home hanging out or whatever. And then she texted me and she was like, hey, did you see that the church like had this policy that they said or whatever? And when she first texted me, I was like, oh, that can't be true. Like, there's no way that they would do something like that. Like,
Right.
you're
That's
probably
what
just
my
like
bishop said when I told
misinterpreting.
him, by the way. My bishop was like, that can't be true. And I was like, yeah, it actually
Yeah,
is.
yeah.
That's, yeah, so insane. And so I was just like, yeah, like it's, I don't know, you're probably misunderstanding it. So I immediately like went on to like social media and started looking for stuff about it, and then found it on Facebook right there, like exactly what she said.
Yeah.
And so my very first thought was like the whole second article of faith thing, like that they won't be punished for the sins of their parents or
Right.
whatever. And so I was just like, holy shit, like what, this isn't right, like this isn't a good thing. And then my next thought was, what is my life going to be like without Mormonism?
Oh, wow.
Because I'm
Dang.
like,
You're
I
like,
think I
I'm
had,
done. Peace out.
yeah. And so, like,
And can I interrupt really quickly? I'm sorry.
yeah, of
Just in
course.
case people don't know, I think probably most of our listeners do, but just in case someone
Just in
doesn't,
case.
the exclusion policy essentially was a policy that the church came out with that said that the children of LGBTQ parents, that people that were in LGBTQ relationships and got married were apostates and would be excommunicated from the church,
Yes.
and that the children of such unions would not be allowed to be baptized, to be, to go on missions, to get the priesthood, like to have any of the kind of traditional kind of sacraments of the LDS Church, without like special permission. And so it really was a huge slap in the face to the LGBTQ community, and especially because like at that point, like marriage was legal
Yes.
between gay
Right.
people. So like you could be a single person, like fucking a new dude every night of the week,
Right.
and your kids would be totally fine.
Yep.
But if you were a gay person who got married to a spouse and was in a monogamous relationship or
Oh,
whatever, then
whatever.
your kids were banned from participation in the church. And so it was a kind of a bombshell that I think broke a lot of people's shelves. I mean, that was when I officially removed my name from the records of the church.
As I did
Yeah.
as well.
So, and it was something that the church, it wasn't even like a big announcement. It just sort of like appeared in a manual. Like I think the church was so oblivious to the fact that it was going to be controversial for people. And then the fact that it was, they were really taken aback, I think, because they just thought like it was no big deal. Like, oh yeah, we hate those dumb faggots, right? Everyone's on the same page, right? And then when a whole bunch of people were like, this is not okay, I think the church was left really scrambling because they had no idea, which they should have known if they had the spirit of prophecy, but they didn't.
Womp
But anyway.
womp. Okay, so Sky Daddy, so
Yeah.
your next thought was, what will my life be without Mormonism? And then what happened? Did you just sit with that for a minute?
Did you talk to Heavenly MILF about it right away, or?
Yeah, so I actually at that point I was like, all right, well, I didn't really talk to her about it at all, and I was like, I just need to kind of like sit with this for a while and kind of fill it out and see what I think about it. And then, you know, I studied it a little more, which didn't help anything.
Right.
Like
Didn't
the
clear
more,
anything up. Was
no,
still
the,
bigoted. Even when you really got into it, it's still bigoted.
exactly. Well, for me, it felt so targeted too. Like
Yeah.
just like completely unnecessary. I'm like, how many instances of this are even happening in the church
Yeah.
currently? And why couldn't they just decide with their bishop or their stake president or
Yeah.
whatever?
Yeah.
And so then shortly after that, it was pretty interesting because so we used to do like Sunday dinners with my family all the time, where it was like me and all my siblings and our kids and stuff when we would all get together and have dinner at my parents' house. And so this one night after we finished dinner, my dad was like, "Hey, can we all sit down? I want to talk to you guys about something." And then we all sat down and we're like, "Okay, like what's this going to be?" Like super stressful thing. He's like trying to get us to all like sit down and have this like family discussion or whatever. And he's like, "Yeah, so you guys, I'm sure have heard about this like policy that they just came out with, and I just want to like talk to you guys about that and kind of see what you're feeling about it."
What?
And which was like, for me, it was like pretty crazy because I was like, I mean, we don't really do this like
Right.
as a family. And I think he just knew that like a lot of people were having a lot of issues with it. And so he like wanted to see if his kids are kind of feeling the same way.
Yeah. Which is very unique in Mormon culture
That
because,
is
like,
very
totally,
unique.
when the prophet speaks, like, you listen and you do what he
You are in
says. You don't,
lockstep.
yeah, you don't question it. You
Right.
just trust that it's true and you just move forward.
Right. And well, I mean, what's pretty crazy too is my dad is like one of those people that kind of has the opinion that like even if it's just like a policy change, like it's still revelation.
Yeah.
And so yeah, it was like really surprising to me that like he wanted to address this and like talk with us about it. But he like had also been a bishop at BYU and stuff like that. So I think he kind of had a lot of experience with like younger kids going through
Right.
faith crisis and stuff like that. And so and pretty much everyone in the family was okay with it or just like didn't really have any issues.
Cool, cool,
Just
cool.
shrug, like, sure, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, and so for me, I was like, you know, feel even more isolated, and I pretty much just kind of sat there quietly through the conversation, and like, kind of spoke up a little bit, but not like a, you know, not like going super in depth about how I was really feeling about it. And then after that, that was pretty much the only discussion that ever happened between my family or with Heavenly MILF. And so for a good year to year and a half, I pretty much just kind of suffered in silence through it.
Oh, wow.
And just kind of had this like faith crisis for a solid year at least, just by myself, not being able to talk to anybody about it, feeling very isolated, like I was the only one who felt this way and that was like
Right.
questioning my beliefs, which you know you find out later is all by design.
Right. Right. That's how it's supposed to work. Yeah.
Yeah, you're supposed to feel like you're the only one that feels that way.
Yeah.
And so yeah, so
So let's take a little break if that's okay.
sure, yeah, of course.
And then let's come back and let's talk about kind of what that transition to you and Heavenly MILF and all of that good stuff.
Awesome.
Okay. Thanks, Sky Daddy.
Okay, thanks.
Oh,
Welcome
hi. Welcome
back.
back.
Hey.
Okay.
So where do we leave off?
So your shelf was breaking, you were suffering in silence.
Yeah, so then after that, I got called to be the Elders Quorum president. And you know, at the time it was one of those things where I was like, well, I shouldn't be doing this. Like, I don't even know if I believe in it.
Can I
But
just say one
then,
thing about the Elders Quorum president?
yeah.
Not every Elders Quorum president is hot, but if someone in the ward is hot, it's the Elders Quorum president. I mean, am I wrong? Like, think back to your past wards. If there was a hot dude in the ward, he was the Elders Quorum
Every
president.
time.
But he doesn't have to be.
He doesn't have
He
to
can
be.
be ugly, but if
Right.
there is a hot person, it's he's the Elders Quorum
And if there's
president.
someone hot who's not, you're like, why isn't he the Elders Quorum
Yeah.
president?
Yeah. You're like, when am I going to call him? He's so hot. Anyway.
Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, go ahead. So you were the hot Elders Quorum president. Everyone was like,
Yes,
this
yeah.
is the right calling. He's hot. We're into this.
Exactly. Yeah, and so I was just kind of like, I mean, I don't know if I should do this, but
Feel like
then
I'm really hot, but I don't really believe. Okay, I'm
exactly.
done. I'm sorry. I'm done.
Yeah, and so then I was like, I mean, so ultimately my conclusion was like, all right, well, this is probably a sign, like, and this is my opportunity to kind of just like fully, excuse me, fully immerse myself again and
Oof.
and like rededicate myself to the
right.
cause kind of
this
thing,
was
right?
God like throwing you a bone. God's like, we're gonna work through this together, buddy.
For real.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And so I'm just like, yeah, like, you know, I can kind of just get like lost in working with all these people in the ward and like, you know, trying to really just kind of like own this calling and do a good job at it, and that'll rekindle my testimony or whatever.
Right.
And so that was my attitude. Pretty much the complete opposite is what happened, because
okay,
I just
great.
Like I would get up on Sundays and just feel like a complete fraud, because I was like saying all these things that I didn't really believe and like
right.
teaching these things that I didn't know.
Been there, done that. Yeah.
Did you say anything to Heavenly MILF at this point about like your feelings about this calling, or were you just like putting on a good show and like putting on your mask and going to work?
Yeah, pretty much just
okay.
kind of like putting on the mask, yeah, and just like going through the motions or whatever. So then, you know, I'm a few months into the calling, and Heavenly MILF and I went out to dinner one night, and we were just kind of sitting there and eating and just talking about normal stuff. And then somehow the discussion came up about my calling and about church and everything. And she was like, and I think I said something along the lines of like, yeah, you know, I've kind of just been treating this calling as a job, like that I just need to do a good job at, because I'm not necessarily like feeling super dedicated to like the actual underlying like reason for it or whatever. And she was like, oh yeah, like I know that, like I can tell that you've been just approaching this as like a job and not as like an actual like spiritual calling or something.
Right.
Wow.
And so that kind of surprised me. And so then I was like, oh, so like, you know that I've been struggling? And she's like, yeah.
Wow.
And so I was just like, oh, well, I guess I should have been talking to you about this the whole time, because it
right.
would have been a lot easier than like,
right.
just suffering in silence
right.
this whole time.
Every time.
Let me
time.
Just put in a plug, because we have heard this story more than once. That like one person is kind of falling away and they're struggling in their heart,
yeah.
and then they tell their spouse, and their spouse is like, oh, I'm a Satanist, actually. Like, I just think, like, maybe not that extreme, but I just think, like, if you're listening to this and you're in that place where you're really struggling and like you, like, I think, I mean, I don't want to say for sure your spouse is also on the way out, but I think like more often than not, I hear this story where two people were struggling on their own, and then finally they talked and they were like, oh my God, why didn't we talk about this like 6 months ago?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, totally.
Almost.
Yeah. It's like, just like, yeah, talk with people that are safe, because
yeah.
that was, I mean, that was the hardest thing for me, is just going through that for so long alone.
Yeah.
And then finding out after, oh, there's like a ton of people that I could have actually talked to about. All
and
this
feeling
stuff.
Like, I'm sure that you were like a failure as a father and that you were dragging your whole family down to hell. I mean, it's a
totally.
Really weighty thing as a parent, especially because you're taught that like, not only are you fucking up your own life, but you're fucking up the life of like your children and your spouse too. So it's a
right.
very like heavy burden to take on.
And disappointing
yeah.
L. Tom Perry.
Yeah.
And,
right.
L. Tom is pissed.
He's up in heaven, just like so pissed at me right now.
I'm yeah. going to name this segment L. Tom is pissed.
L. Tom is pissed. I love it.
Okay, so Heavenly MILF was like, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, so she's like, I'm not surprised. And she's like, that's okay, you know? And the great thing about her, and, you know, I knew this from the beginning, like, I never thought that she was going to be like the type of wife that would divorce me over leaving the church.
Right.
Because that's just who she is. And like, I knew that like what we had was stronger than anything like that. And so it wasn't that like it was a concern for me, but it's also kind of my personality to just like bury a lot of emotion, like bury that
right.
kind of stuff up and not really like address it with other people.
Right.
And so yeah, she was just like, she was super supportive. You know, we got into like a lot of my concerns, a lot of the issues that I'd been having. And so we talked about that. And then from that point on, it was kind of sort of just this like roller coaster of like, her talking to me about things and kind of us together trying to decide how we want to approach this, and like what we want to do. And so at the time that I was the Elders Quorum president, we were renting the house that we were living in. We got to a point where we decided that we wanted to buy a home, and the owners of the house that we were renting offered to have us buy the place from them. And the whole time I was just like, no, like I don't want to buy this place.
Because then you would still be in the same ward with the same neighbors.
Exactly. And okay. And also I'm like, I want out of this fucking calling. Like,
yeah.
because I mean, I think I only did it for a little over a year. It's usually a 3-year calling.
That
so
is
like,
a long damn time
it's a
when
long
you don't
time.
Believe.
Yeah. Right. And I'm just like, I cannot possibly imagine doing this for 2 more years.
Right.
Especially now, like that it's a little bit more out in the open that I'm struggling. And so we ended up instead buying a house in Saratoga Springs. And so we moved. We were in Springville before that. So it was, a pretty good move. And then just basically far away from like everybody that we knew in that area, like the ward and everything like that.
Yeah.
So then we get out there and Heavenly Milf is like, okay, like this is your chance to decide like really what you want to do. Like, do you want to keep going to church? Like, do you even want to start going to the ward here? And so I thought about it for a couple of days, and then I came back to her and I was like, yeah, you know what? I think I want to keep trying and sort of just try to rededicate myself.
Oh,
Oh wow.
Skydaddy,
Oh
bless
wow.
your heart.
Right?
Well,
Oh my
you tried
God.
so hard.
Oh.
Well, and it's like, looking back, I'm like, well, I was trying to deconstruct like 30 years
Oh,
of
yeah.
this being like every part of
Fair.
my life.
Yeah.
And
And this is
so
what I think so much like people, there is a belief with inside Mormonism that people who leave Mormonism do it because they're lazy or like they just
oh
don't
God.
care. It was a casual decision. Like every single person I know who has left Mormonism like knows the history and knows the doctrine
Yeah.
and has really studied it and has really like tried to make it work. Like I have very rarely met someone unless they left when they were like 12
Right.
and were never really converted, but I have never met someone who didn't like really go through hell to try to figure out like this is what I've been taught to believe my whole life and but it's not jiving with the life that I want to live and how do I make this
It
work? Like
is
it's not
a dark night of the soul. It's hard.
Yeah,
Yeah. It's not a
absolutely.
casual like, yeah, I don't want to go anymore. It's a real it's like a real battle for most people. And so it really bugs me when Mormons want to present this idea that it's like, oh, well, he just left because he's lazy or
He took the easy
he
road.
left because he likes porn or because he wants to drink coffee. Like, no, like the people who left like fought for that decision and really struggled to find to like try to make it all make sense.
Well, and that's what I always said. Like we had even family members, and I think you guys talked about with Heavenly Milf, the uncle in the family that won't allow you into his house. And like, yeah, so at one point he mentioned that, since we hadn't left Mormonism and joined another religion, it just means that we're being lazy. And like, so it's just like all these things like that. And like, I basically it would really frustrate me when people would say that, because I'd be like, okay, you're saying that I'm just making this choice out of laziness, or that I want the easy way out or something. I'm like, try sitting face to face with your parents and telling them something is going to absolutely devastate them.
Yes.
And
Not a
like,
lazy decision.
no.
yeah, so like, anyway, but we
So you moved and you decided to give it one more go.
yeah, so I'm like, okay, I think I just want to rededicate myself to this and just, try to reconcile my issues and everything. And when I told her that, she became like visibly upset and like just upset with the idea in general.
I love it so
And then
much.
I know, and then I was just like, wait a minute, like you're having issues now? And
She
she
was
was
ready.
like,
Like, she was like, this is it. This is our out.
yeah,
And then you're like, I'm going to
exactly.
try again. And she's like, fuck.
Yeah, exactly. And so she's like, yeah, I mean, I didn't realize that it was going to be this hard to hear that, but like, she's like, I'm realizing now that church in general, like going to church, gives me like severe anxiety.
Yeah.
And she was essentially a convert to the church. I'm sure she talked about all of that
Yeah.
before, but and so her problem is she always kind of struggled with that like imposter syndrome,
Yeah.
where she felt like, I don't know any of these stories that I'm teaching. I've never even read the Book of Mormon. And
It's
then
pretty
going and
boring.
trying
Tell
to
her not
like,
to worry about it. It's not
I
worth
know
it.
it's not that, yeah, it's not that great.
It's
But
pretty
so
racist, if we're really honest. It's like a pretty
exactly.
racist book. So anyway.
It's most definitely.
Justifies murdering people. Like,
Yeah, it's fine.
so she's like, yeah, I just like, I really struggle with going to church. And I was like, okay, well, yeah, I mean, I guess let's just kind of see. And so like, for a while, we kind of went a little bit, and then we went enough to get callings.
Oh.
And then she like pretty much just kind of decided to check out.
Yeah.
And so I kind of started going by myself for a little bit. And then they called me to be the teacher of the 7-year-olds.
Okay.
And I mean, I have nothing against kids. I love my own kids, but that age is a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
And trying to teach like any kind of lesson was just like a disaster every
It did
time.
not strengthen your testimony to teach a bunch
No.
of 7-year-old assholes.
It did like the complete opposite. And so I was just like, well, I think this is kind of my sign. So right after that, there was just one Sunday where I was just like, I can't do this anymore. Like, it's just too much. Like, so that night I went home, texted our bishop, and I was like, hey, we've been struggling for a while. We've been experiencing this faith crisis, and we're not going to come anymore. And luckily he was like a really young guy. Like, I think he's probably in his mid-30s and just the bishop of this ward. And so he was just super cool about it. And he's like, I mean, so he texted me back. He's like, would you mind if we like get together and talk about some of the concerns you're having? And I just texted him back. I was like, I know, like, I don't really want to do that. Like, we're kind of past the point where, because I think at that point, Heavenly MILF was already reading the CES letter.
There you
And
go.
then like shortly after that, I read it too. And I told her, I was like, I mean, a lot of this stuff are things that I already knew, because I had run into a lot of the, that quote unquote anti-Mormon material or whatever on my mission. And then it's like, now I'm seeing it like in a different context. I'm like, oh, like actually these things are really terrible, and there's no justification for them. And if anything, they just bury it and whitewash the history so that it looks nice, and we don't talk about these things. And so, yeah, from that point, we were pretty much fully done.
So the bishop like took that as an he was okay with that. Like they didn't try to like send the home teachers or anything or
No, not at all. And we still had home teachers after that, but they were really cool too. Like, they'd stop by sometimes and just be like, one of them was like our neighbor across the street. And so they'd just stop by and be like, hey, yeah, we just want to make sure you guys are okay. Honestly, I kind of got the vibe from the war that a lot of people were scared of us, which is, pretty normal.
Is it because you're hot? What was it?
Because Heavenly MILF has tattoos?
I mean, she's hot.
Probably, yeah. I
Yeah.
mean,
They
with
were like, don't.
tattoos.
The tattoo people finally left you guys. We're safe. We're going to be okay.
Exactly. Well, it's funny too, because she like when she so she was a primary teacher in that ward, and she had like little kids coming up to her all the time, and they'd be like, oh yeah, those are tattoos, those are bad. And she's just like, no, they're not. Like, I don't really know what to say to you.
Oh God.
Oh, good times.
Okay, and
But yeah, I
so
think. Sorry,
no,
go
what were you
ahead.
gonna say? Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I think, yeah, so I think they were just kind of scared of us because it's like they knew that we had like done the whole faith crisis thing and like made the decision to leave.
Yeah, great. I love it.
And then how what was the timeline from there to talking about opening up your marriage or becoming non-monogamous or however you label it?
Sorry, you kind of cut out there. Could you
Oh
say the
yeah. So
question?
what's the timeline? What was the timeline from realizing you're really done, sending the text to the bishop, and then starting to play around with the idea of being non-monogamous?
So yeah, I'm trying to think. It was probably about a year or so after that where that first year is so brutal when you leave. It's just like trying to like navigate so many different things.
Oh yes.
Your
Oh
whole
yes.
family is just like so devastated. They don't know how to approach you or how to talk to you. Definitely like a ton of uncomfortable conversations and interactions in there and stuff like that. And so yeah, like for that first year or two, it was just kind of like trying to figure everything out and like figure out what this new life even means,
Of course.
especially for me having, been 30 years in the church and then trying to figure out where I'm going to go from here.
Well, and you have to redefine, like, it's so complicated because you have to redefine your whole belief system. You have to figure out, like, what do I actually, especially as a parent, you have to figure out, like, well, what do I actually care? Like, what values do I care about my children learning about? Are they the same as they were when I was Mormon? Are they different? What does that look like? And when you've grown up in the church, you've never seen anything else modeled. Like, all you know is the Mormon way, So it's suddenly like, oh, well, how do I talk to my kids about all these other things, or what do I really believe in? So it's incredibly, yeah, it's incredibly, incredibly complicated.
And so I think that was so much of it, is just figuring all that stuff out and kind of where we stand on everything. But it was also like a really great time because it was super liberating. I really like to read a lot, and so I just started consuming like all these different things that were kind of like taboo before, or like things that
Right.
we're not supposed to read or
Right.
whatever. And so kind of in the middle of all that, I came across the book Sex at Dawn and read that, and it kind of, just blew my mind. Like
What is
this.
Sex at Dawn? I'm not familiar with this book.
So the book basically just goes over like what humans' biological like sexuality is, and how basically the truth about it has kind of been stifled throughout all of history,
Right.
mainly by religious belief, and pretty much just used as a means to bolstering up this patriarchy and, making women feel like they're supposed to be like asexual essentially, and they're just there to
Right.
serve the man's purpose,
Right.
or whatever. But then it also connects it with like the animal kingdom and how like the closest primates that we're related to as humans are bonobos, and they live in like a very egalitarian type system where everybody has sex with each other. It's just like very open and like doesn't fit this whole, because like I think a lot of people try to use the animal kingdom as like a means to bolster up monogamy and say most animals are monogamous and humans are the same way. And basically this guy is just writing the book and like just saying like, no, this is just factually not true.
Yeah.
And so that book, and then another podcast that I was listening to at the time, where the guy in the podcast was in a polyamorous relationship with his fiance, and he talked about it all the time. Like those two things just kind of like really completely shifted my paradigm for what I felt about like sexuality and monogamy and all that kind of stuff. Another huge aspect, I think, for me was that I grew up with a ton of sexual shame in
Yeah.
the church
Yeah.
because I masturbated all the time.
How dare you?
And
How dare you?
touch your own body.
Jesus is so mad at you.
it's so frustrating though, like looking back on that, because I realized it was something that was so like normal and just like
Right.
real, and seeing how much I like beat myself up for that and like how much
Yeah.
shame I felt and self-loathing even and stuff like that because I did this thing and couldn't stop.
But aren't you so glad, like, as a parent, you don't have to worry about that? Like, you don't have to have those, like, if your kids masturbate, you can, like, you don't have to talk about it. Like, it
No, so
just can
that was a
happen behind closed
huge.
doors. Like, you don't even need to know. It's just like, it's such a relief to just be like, oh, I don't have to make this a thing and try to control them from, like, please don't touch your own body.
So
Well,
I have
and
a quick.
we,
Oh, go ahead.
sorry, I was just gonna say we so what we one of the biggest things for us when we decided to leave ultimately was we were just like, we don't want our kids being raised in this culture where like, or
Yeah.
this religion where they're taught to be ashamed of themselves for just like touching their
For
own bodies
existing.
and
Yeah.
existing.
Quick question, and then we're gonna take another break. Is when you came across Sex at Dawn and that podcast, had you and Heavenly MILF had any discussions about being non-monogamous at that point?
No, I don't think we had. Because that was, I think, just in the conversations that I had with her about the book and about the podcast is what really like kind of opened up the conversation for the two of us.
Awesome. Okay, let's take a break and then let's get back to and just really dive deep into the dirty bits. Okay.
Okay, awesome.
Okay. See you in a minute.
Bye.
Okay, thank you.
Interesting.
It has.
Hello.
Welcome
Hey,
back.
thanks.
So you read the book, you listened to the podcast, and then you
We're horny as hell.
did
Just kidding. Just
Yeah,
kidding. It's not
exactly.
about that, you guys.
Did you two questions.
Yeah.
How was your sex life with Heavenly MILF at that point? Second question is, did you approach Heavenly MILF and say, hey, you should read this, or I want to talk to you about something?
Okay, so for our sex life, it definitely was not as like great as either of us were hoping it would be, right?
Right.
And again, it's like, I feel like it's all of this just like always ties back into the church and like the way that you're brought up. And like,
Yeah.
I think I always struggled with this idea of like sex is just bad taboo, like this horrible thing that you're supposed to avoid for your entire life.
Right.
Like, and then the night that you get married, it's just a flip of a switch and you're supposed to have a fantastic sex
and
life.
Then just
It's
do it
healthy.
all.
And
Do everything.
exactly.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Deprogramming does not work like that.
Yeah.
No, exactly. And especially when you combine that with years of shame and guilt and everything like that.
Yeah.
And so,
fun.
So like, I think, yeah, it was just like, you know, there were definitely some aspects of it that were a struggle for us. And we have like a fantastic marriage. Like we've always been really happy with each other, just very content. We communicate really well, like all that kind of stuff. And so this was sort of like the one area that was like kind of a pain point for us or whatever. And when we first talked about it, I don't think it was like a serious thing where I was like planning on having like this discussion with her or anything like that. It was literally just like a casual conversation where I was like, yeah, I've been listening to this podcast and reading this book. And then we just kind of started talking about it and how I thought it was interesting. And you know, luckily we've kind of always had that relationship. It's really funny because she always talks about the first date that we ever went on. And I took her to dessert somewhere in Salt Lake. And the entire time I talked about how fascinated I am with psychedelic drugs. And
this was when you were like super Mormon and
still
she was super
Mormon,
Mormon
and she's super Mormon. And she was like, yeah, it was funny because like I was really freaked out by it because I was like, cool, this guy's in crisis and leave the church and go do a bunch of drugs.
And here we are.
And here we are. And so we've kind of just always had that like relationship where we can kind of just talk about anything. And
amazing.
So, and so I just brought up the podcast and the book and stuff and we just talked about it. And then, it kind of just became this topic that would come up like pretty frequently. And, at the same time, she started discovering that she was bisexual and that she had kind of like always been attracted to women.
Right. I remember this. She would like make out with girls in high school. And she was like, doesn't everyone make out with girls in high school?
Exactly. Yeah.
You're like, no, actually, no. Most girls probably don't.
Exactly. And it's so funny because like she was oblivious to it, but I was equally oblivious to it because like I remember her telling me that she like had made out with a ton of her girlfriends and stuff. And me, like, stupid, like, horny, just like straight white man, I'm just like, oh, cool. That's like awesome. I love that.
That's awesome.
But like no thought of like, oh, maybe she's gay or maybe she's bisexual or something. And, but then, yeah, so she like started kind of discovering that and exploring that in her mind. And then it just kind of, yeah, I guess became this process, like where we would both talk about it together. You know, at certain points it would be like, yeah, like we could see maybe doing that someday, but like right now our kids are super young. So it just doesn't seem very practical.
Right.
In the podcast that I was listening to, like I said, the guy was fully polyamorous. And for us, we were both just kind of like, yeah, I just don't know if I'm really into like the idea of like taking on multiple relationships, like separate from each other. And we didn't really know too much about, I guess, all the options out there, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Yeah, it was probably a good year or two that we just kind of talked about it. And it just was the subject that kept coming up. And then fairly recently, I think she really kind of started to feel like, yeah, like I'm bisexual. And this is like a side of me that I've never explored before. And I think kind of starting to feel like that is something that she wanted to explore. And for me, it's like at that point, my whole like mindset around monogamy and everything had totally shifted. And so I was just like, we had a conversation one night and we were just like, yeah, so like, maybe we should try this. Like, maybe we should try swinging. And
so were you like threatened by that at all or nervous about that she was interested in women? Or were you kind of just like, okay, cool, let's give this a try.
Yeah. I think I was more just kind of like, yeah, like that doesn't really seem like a huge threat to me because I think we both come from the place of an understanding where it's like, yeah, we're not like going to go meet somebody else and like run off with that person. Like we're still fully committed to each other and to our relationship and to our kids and everything like that. And so it was like, it wasn't like threatening to me that she wanted to like explore her sexuality, especially with other women.
Uh-huh. Wow. So then what happened next?
So I think she kind of mentioned this in her episode, but so we have two very different personalities in the way that we make decisions and approach things. When she decides something, she just jumps in like head first, like fully on board with it. And I love to take my sweet time like trying to make a decision. So it's like if it weren't for her, I mean, honestly, I probably would have just kept talking about this forever and not really taken much action or
But she
anything.
was like, I'm ready, let's go.
Yeah, and so like we had the conversation, and then like literally that night, probably 30 minutes later, she was sitting there on her phone, and I was like, "Oh, what are you doing?" And she's like, "Oh, I'm on some swinger apps." And
She
so I was
just
just
was
like,
like ready to go.
"Yeah." And so I was like, "Oh shit, like this is happening then?" And she's like, "Yeah, we're doing. I mean, we said we're gonna do it." And I was like, "I guess so." So, so we,
Amazing.
and so I was like, "Okay, I guess I'll get the apps too. Tell me which ones they are," and then. And then
Amazing.
that was it, yeah.
And so we've heard a little bit about her experiences. Like, have you had experiences as well? Sexual
Yeah.
experiences outside of Heavenly MILF.
Yes, yeah. So we've mainly what we have done is in the swinging community, they call it a full swap, which is where you essentially just trade spouses, kind of thing. And we've done that with like a few different couples now, and I think you know a really big thing for me too is just like especially after reading the book and all that kind of stuff, I was like I really don't think it's realistic or even necessarily healthy to only experience one sexual partner in your entire life.
Right. This is Sister Twain's
This is my
favorite thing ever.
favorite.
Yeah.
And it's just,
What's this
yeah.
book called again?
Sex at Dawn.
Sex at Dawn,
Yeah.
gentle
Definitely
listeners.
recommend it.
Get a
Yes.
copy.
Get a copy for sure. And yeah, and so that it just kind of, and especially, you know, like I mentioned before, I was older when I got married. I was still a virgin. And so I was like, yeah, I think this is important for us to explore and for like
Right.
me to also experience different sexual partners. And we can do this in a healthy way, where it's not cheating. We're not like going behind each other's backs or being like shitty and deceivous or whatever about it.
Right.
And so
So is
like,
it typically so, because we've had, you know, kind of a couple different types of swingers or polyamorous people. So you guys aren't necessarily, and if I'm stating this wrong, please correct me, but you guys aren't necessarily looking for relationships with someone else. It's more just for the fun and the sex and the connection that happens with that. Or is that not true? Or do you not want to
Sorry.
answer that?
Sorry, you cut out there.
Oh.
It,
Oh,
like in the
damn.
middle of the question. Sorry about that.
So
I don't
I'm
know if
just
it's my
asking,
side.
like, are you guys at this point, are you guys still just looking for like sex and connection and having a good time? Or are you more in the space where you're looking to have like long-term relationships with other people?
Yeah, so that's what's been really fascinating about this is like I think everybody kind of has their ideas of what swinging is, and for us, like getting into the whole lifestyle of it, we found that there's so many different approaches to
Yeah.
how you can do it, and it's been like really fascinating. But right now, what we've kind of decided is we're not really interested in like person, like I guess like intimate relationships outside of each other. One is just like not really practical with our life right now. Like we have three
Right.
toddlers, we both
Right.
work.
Right. Like it's
It's
hard when you
like,
have toddlers to like go to a movie,
exactly.
let alone date and have a
And
relationship with a
explore
whole other
non-monogamy.
person. Yeah.
Exactly. And you know, we're also very content in our relationship with each other. And so really what our biggest thing has been lately is just finding couples that we click really well with, that we can become really good friends with outside of just sexual encounters, but then also having like the sexual encounter aspect of it.
Yeah.
So I guess sort of like a friends with benefits kind of thing.
So you have couples you have revisited that you've had sex with more than once?
Yes.
Okay.
And when you say full swap, does that mean like you and the wife of the other couple will have one-on-one time?
So yeah, there's different ways to do it. They call it like same room full swap or separate room full swaps. There's also soft swaps, which are like not sex basically. It's like everything but penetration.
Oh, okay.
We love a soft swap. Sounds great.
And so, yeah, so like some people are just into that and like they don't want to do the full swap or whatever. But yeah, so what we've decided what we like is like the same room full swap.
So you're all four in the room?
Exactly.
But you're not all four playing together, right?
So sometimes there is that. Yeah. So that's kind of been the fun thing is it's like there is kind of an element of like interaction, everybody interacting with each other. Great. But then ultimately,
Coffee is biting his fingers.
I mean, it's pretty hot.
It is so hot.
It's pretty hot. Yeah. Okay.
It is. I mean, yeah, it's great.
So there's a little bit of perhaps interaction together and then perhaps some alone time as well with the other partner.
Yeah. And so we've found like what we really like the most is where the two women will start together and they kind of like get things going. And then the men will kind of like, for lack of a better term, insert ourselves
into the situation.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. A metaphorical insertion.
Exactly.
Before an actual.
Before the literal.
Okay, great.
So you guys ever had a threesome?
We have, yeah. We had one threesome. And that was with, so it was kind of an interesting arrangement. So it was some friends that we found and we were planning on basically doing like the same kind of full swap thing with them, but they also have really young kids and honestly just kind of coordinating schedules with them became impossible. And so at one point, Danielle and the other
Heavenly wife, Milf.
Or sorry, Heavenly Milf. Gosh,
it's fine. I don't care. If you don't care, I don't care.
We don't care.
Heavenly Milf and the other wife like decided like, well, maybe we should just do like an arranged kind of like threesome thing where like one of us will go visit the other couple and then vice versa, so that we can like make it fair or whatever. So then Heavenly Milf asked me if I would be okay with that, and I was like, yeah, I think that's fine. Like
It's fine. Sounds fine.
Twist my arm.
Yeah,
it's fine to do a threesome, I guess.
Whatever, it's fine.
And so we agreed to do this, and then the way that it worked out, Heavenly Milf ended up going to them first. And so that night I was home with the kids by myself. We decided to do a camp out in our backyards. We set up the tent and everything, and then she went and had a threesome with them, and the whole time I was sitting there. And it was really surprising to me because I started just kind of feeling jealous about the whole thing and sort of like, you know, like, oh, I don't know what's happening. Like it kind of bothered me that she like got in this sexy lingerie and like went over to their house and yeah, just kind of surprised me that I got so jealous about it. And so then she came home that night, we talked about it and I was like, yeah, it's kind of weird because I'm kind of feeling jealous. Like, and I didn't think that I was going to, because at that point we had also swapped with other couples. And so it's like, right. I had like actively watched her have sex with another man.
Right.
And it didn't bother me because I was like right there watching her or whatever.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of like foreign to me to feel that way and to feel jealous of the whole situation. But, she was like, well, do you want to talk about it? Like I don't know, like, how can I help you with this or whatever? I was like, you know, I think like, I don't know, I kind of just need to sit with this for a while because like, I don't really know where it's coming from. And so like, I kind of want to just like sit with this and process it and figure out why I'm feeling the way I am. And so then the next day, you know, I had some more time to think about it. Kind of was like, I guess like feeling a little bit more like understanding of why I was feeling that way. And I think really more than anything, it was just kind of like, the whole concept of like her getting like dressed up all sexy, like going to somebody else when I was like, yeah, we don't even really do that very often because, you know, toddlers, we have like a busy life. Like,
right.
And so it's just kind of like, we don't even do that kind of stuff for each other or with each other. And so it just kind of like made me jealous, like her going and doing that. And also like she had never had sex with them before. And so I think really for me, it became like this, you know, the fear of the unknown.
Sure.
Where it's like, if I'm watching it happen and I'm there in the room, I'm like, oh, this isn't a threat. Like, it's not, you know, anything that I need to be worried about.
Yeah.
But then it's like this mysterious thing when she's going away to somebody
else. Yeah. That makes sense.
And so, you know, ultimately it was fine. Like, you know, our kind of our motto with all of this has just been like, yeah, like, let's just try different things, because that's the whole point of this. And if there's stuff that makes us uncomfortable, then that just becomes kind of like a new boundary.
Yeah.
And we'll just say, yeah, we don't really want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
So has that become a boundary? Are you not like, were you able to kind of process through that? And it was like, no big deal. You do a threesome again, or are you kind of like, eh, the threesomes feel a little weird. Let's stick to just like swapping with other couples for now.
Yeah. So I think it's not something that I'm just like, it's a hard no, but I'm a little more hesitant about it, I think.
Okay.
Because we did. So we did also have a threesome with that other wife. Like she still came to us.
Yeah.
After that, and it was great, like super fun and everything. But also it's kind of like, I think for Heavenly Milf and I, we both kind of feel like the full swaps are a little bit
more comfortable.
Like logistically, they're also a lot easier.
Right.
Four
people is
strange,
easier than three people.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, yeah, three people, it's an odd number, you know, and you're just kind of like trying to keep everybody entertained.
Someone's
being left
out a little bit. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And so that's kind of where we're at right now. And yeah, I wouldn't say like we'd say a hard no to any threesome, but it's just like we're maybe a little more hesitant to that than the full swap. So.
Wow.
So my final question, and just because that's my final question doesn't mean you can't like add anything else that you want to add about your non-monogamy experience. But my final question for me is, has your one-on-one sex life with Heavenly Milf improved?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think the biggest aspect of it is that we now both feel a lot more comfortable just being very open and honest about like what we want. And
yeah.
And that's such a huge thing, right? Like, I think we figured out like a huge issue in our sex life was that we had a hard time being vulnerable with each other in a way that we're like, no, this is what I like. And this is like, what's important to me. And so this is kind of just, this whole lifestyle is just kind of breaking down those barriers, because it's like, oh, like we can actually communicate about these things. And it's like, we can have experiences with other people and then bring that back into our own sex life and be like, okay, this is, you know, this other person did this. I really liked that. Like, let's implement that into our own sex life.
Well, and that's the crazy fucked up thing about Mormonism is that like you said, it's this forbidden evil thing for your whole life. And then like one day you go through this ceremony in the temple and then suddenly it's like, go to town on each other. Yeah. And it's like, you probably don't know your own self and your own body, nor do you have the vocabulary to talk about like pleasure or about what you want or about what you're attracted to, or, you know, like you can't just make that switch from sex being this like dirty, gross, disgusting thing that's evil to this sex being this like amazing, wonderful thing. Mm-mm. You know, like you don't have the tools to have that conversation. And so it's no wonder that when you're in this relationship and you've only ever been with each other and whatever, that it's really hard to say like, oh, this is actually like, this is what I'm into, or this is what I want, or this is what feels good to me, because you don't have that vocabulary. Like that's been forbidden to talk about for, you know, 28, 30 years of your life. And then suddenly you're just supposed to be fluent and totally comfortable talking about it. It makes no sense.
Exactly. Yeah. And even for Heavenly Milf, I mean, she, you know, most of her life didn't grow up like super involved with the church, but she said the same thing. She's like, I still experienced that like sexual shame culture growing up in Utah, even though I wasn't like super Mormon.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
it's here.
Oh Lord. Okay, so we have our kind of five questions to wrap up, but is there anything else you wanted to share or talk about or advice or whatever for anyone else that might be in this similar situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely recommend that book, Sex at Dawn. I more than anything, I think people should just be open to changing their minds about like the things that they believe, especially with regard to sex and sexuality.
Amen.
And just, you know, be willing to kind of look past this like structure of patriarchy and like the fucked up sexuality that it's created, and look at like, oh, like there are actually other options out there,
right,
that not only are probably better but also healthier.
Yeah.
And just because like you have a desire to have sex with other people, like doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. Like you're actually very
No.
normal
Yes.
biologically and otherwise. And so it's like, yeah, that's kind of my plug. Yes, it's just
Awesome.
I love it.
be open to it.
So, did Sister Twain send you the five
I did
questions?
not.
Okay. Are you
No,
prepared
but
to answer the five questions or not
yeah,
really?
I think I'm good.
Okay.
Heavenly Mail prepped me right before,
Okay.
so.
You guys, this is Sister Twain's job because she arranges these interviews in a lot of cases. It's her job to send the questions. And then I'm like, let's do the five questions. And the guest is like, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. So, question number one, if your topic was a cocktail, what is it called and what's in it?
Okay, this one was kind of hard because I don't drink cocktails.
Okay. Do you drink at all?
I do, yeah. So I usually just do wine, whiskey, or beer. Those are kind of my
Okay, great.
go-tos.
Great.
But I came up with a cool name for a cocktail at least, and one
Okay.
that I thought of was a Temple Fist Fight. And
Oh, what's in it?
so I think I was just gonna do, it's probably pretty similar to like a whiskey sour, like a Manhattan or like something like that. Just like something with whiskey, maybe some citrus in there and like some ice, like just
Okay, I'm going to
simple.
work on this. I love this, the Temple Fist
And
Fight.
so tell us about the name though.
Yeah, so the name, when in kind of like all of my historical exploring when I was leaving the church, I found this story because I became really fascinated with the historical aspect of alcohol in Utah. And in the Mormon church specifically. And I read this story about in the Kirtland Temple, there was a story about where Joseph Smith and all of the apostles got super drunk on wine in the temple and had a fist fight because they were just like hammered and they disagreed on something. And so they just started beating the shit out of each other.
I love it. I love a temple fist fight.
And I was just like, that's so cool. Like, why are we hiding this
I
history?
know.
Like,
Why
it's
aren't we
like.
talking about that? Oh, so fucked up.
This is the future we want.
Okay, so question two, which Golden Girl are you? Or are you too young to know who the Golden Girls are?
No, I actually love this question because when I was a little kid, I would always watch Golden Girls.
Preach.
Like
You're
I
our
was,
people.
so I was born in the 80s, so it's like I think I was just right at the cusp there to be
Yeah.
like just old enough to watch
Yeah.
it. But I do admit I had to go back and do like an online quiz to figure out who I
Okay,
was.
that's fair.
The quiz said Dorothy.
Okay.
So,
She's like a straight talker. She's a straight shooter. She tells it like it is. She's smart and intelligent. Anyway, we love Dorothy. Okay, so if you hadn't been on the show to talk about non-monogamy, if you were on another podcast, what is something that you could talk about and be an expert on?
probably psychedelic drugs.
That's what I thought
Okay,
you were going to
preach. Okay,
say.
we should talk offline.
Yeah,
And you should teach me some things.
I'm definitely obsessed, and like that's been one of the greatest things about leaving the church is that I can now explore all of that as much as I want without, jeopardizing my status or anything like that. So
I love
your
it.
eternal
Your
salvation.
eternal
Yeah,
salvation. Okay.
exactly.
I'm still terrified of psychedelic drugs, so let's chat and you can.
Because he's terrified of Nancy Reagan.
I'm terrified of Nancy Reagan and I'm terrified of
Yeah.
facing my dark inner self. So I don't want to do either of those things. So
That's for
Good old
sure.
Nancy Reagan. Oh,
yeah,
man.
she really fucked me up. Okay, number four, what is one thing you want to ask us?
Let's see. I had a couple questions, but I was trying to remember. I mean, how do you guys like podcasting? I mean, this isn't like super related to Mormonism or anything like that, but
That's
like
fine.
I'm fascinated with podcasting and I just want to know like how you guys have liked doing this for as long as you have.
Well, I'll start.
Okay, you go.
I love it. Every week I'm shocked that people want to listen. Like, I just cannot believe that I'm like, for sure they're sick of us now. Like, for sure. But that, also is, I'm sure, my own issues or whatever. But I'm shocked that people want to listen. But it's really been like we get the nicest letters from people who really like their lives were like changed by this podcast. And that was
That's
not
awesome.
our intention.
No, no,
We
no,
just
no.
thought we were funny and we just thought we should make a
Yeah.
podcast.
So.
But people write letters and they're like, oh my God, I'm in the process of leaving the church and you've like really been so helpful to me. And like it blows our minds.
Right.
That's so
My
awesome.
answer for you is
I hate it. You're like number one, I hate
number
it.
one.
I hate this fucking thing
And then
and I want to go home.
I get my keys and I go
Yeah.
home.
And then you leave.
No, but like it has helped me to reconcile a lot of things. It's helped me to like self-actualize a little bit more. And the fact that people listen and that we happen to be like actually helping people is really just the gravy, because I feel like I get to do so much of my own processing, even mm-hmm. when we do a dumb top five,
right?
Like the top five H words that we are that aren't horny.
Right.
And it turned out to be like a really like informative, like self-informative episode for me. So, so that is why I keep going.
I will say this too, like if anyone's listening to this who is like thinking of starting a podcast, because I think people get really hung up on like the production values of a podcast and like they need to have the right mics and the right editing software and what are they going to do and blah, blah, blah. And like, we should probably do some of that. Like we should probably have some better mics and some editing software. But I think like, if you have a story to tell and a point of view, there are going to be people that are going to want to listen to that. And it doesn't matter if you have like the best mics in the world and the best editing software.
No,
like,
it doesn't matter.
You like what matters so much more is your voice and your personality and all of that stuff. And like, yeah, we could do some things to make the sound quality a little better. We probably never will because we're very lazy. But but like, I think people like let that be a barrier of entry. Like, oh, well, I need to save up money and I need to get a great mic and I need to do this and I need to blah, blah, blah. I don't think that's true. I think you just need to go tell your stories and find people that want to listen to your stories.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
Anyway.
What's the next question? Awesome.
Okay. The last question is, what do you know to be true now? What's your inner truth?
Yeah. Honestly, I think, yeah, as cliche as it sounds, I think just love, like just love each other. Like one of the, it's funny because I talk about this stuff and I feel like so kind of like dumb sometimes because I think I feel like it sounds like all like woo woo, like spirituality, like kind of weird stuff. But in one of the more like formative, like psychedelic trips that I had, I remember at one point there was just this phrase that like kept coming into my mind and it just kept saying, love is the language of the universe. And it was just like, I think that is something that we as humans just fail at miserably all the time is being willing to just love each other as we are with all of our messiness and everything. But then it's also kind of just become this like cliche thing to say. That's kind of like, I feel like that's the only thing that I just feel like I really know now, because everything else is just kind of up in the air. Like I don't feel like I really have solid evidence or proof for anything. But I'm also totally at peace with that. You know, like I don't feel like I have to know those things and that's okay.
Right. Right. Wow. Yes.
That's a good one.
That is a really, really good one.
Okay. Well, Sky Daddy, thank you so much. This has been fascinating.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
It's been kind of hot.
So hot.
Kind of hot. But you guys are lovely and we wish, I think you're both like way wiser than your years.
Yeah,
you
absolutely. Know, like,
and so we just wish you all the best and hope everything keeps going really well for you.
And yeah, thanks. It means a lot to me that you would do this because it speaks a lot to my character that you agreed.
Does it?
I'm just kidding.
No, totally.
Well, we appreciate it. I don't know what that weird ending was from Sister Grace. But anyway, we appreciate it. We love you guys. Hopefully we can have a hot drinks gathering again in the future when there's not a pandemic.
We should,
and
we can
hang out and share some drinks.
Absolutely.
And talk about psychedelics.
That would be amazing.
That's what he was getting
I can talk about that all day, so that'd be
all
great.
All right, I can't wait. All right, Kay, thank you, Sky Daddy.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Okay, talk to you later.
Right, bye.